about different things, especially things that I'm interested in. So my experience was actually amazing. What I feel like a mentor is a person who has went out and gotten so much knowledge that they're kind of like a master in their domain, and then they've mastered it enough to be able to teach it to someone else and to give them their experiences. So I really had a very good experience, for example, Rodney June, with real estate, because that's something I want to do future in my future. And you know, we had conversations when he would speak to me and he would just tell me things that I never knew and just mentored me basically, and it will continue. So yeah.
That's
That
dope.
is awesome. So for those who don't know, the OFC, and I've mentioned a couple of times, we're in the process of developing the OFC YG. So that's the OFC youth group. And the youth group, like, we're, it's broken into three categories. So we have like a 12 to 15 segment, and then we have a 16 to 18 segment, and then we have a 19 to 24 segment. Okay, and the there's a one of the sisters who's a member of the community, who also for her company she actually sets up business mentorships, right? So and so it's amazing to have her because she's a wealth of information. But we're taking the professional approach that she uses for her companies, and we're bringing that in for youth, right? So we thought it's huge. And what I like is that she did bring some tips and tricks to me, like some pointers that I hadn't considered before. So one of the things that she said, and I'm sharing some nuggets with you guys, with our listeners as well, is that our mentorship, we're going to have three areas of focus, right? So yes, we do want to make sure that we're tapping into you guys' passions and your interests, so that you know, and we're bringing in professionals to help you guys with those skills. But prior to that, so let's put that as number two priority. Number one priority, especially for you all as young melanated youth, is to deal with you guys and to give you tips and tricks around your life experiences as melanated youth.
That's very important.
It's huge. It's huge. It's huge. And because we take that for granted, right? Like, but the life that we're living right now, it's like there's so many things. I don't need to dive into it, but we know that you all, in terms of youth, you guys are growing a different, living a different life experience than we did. Right, coming up, right, and so there's a value in creating a space for you guys to be able to express that, talk about things that you guys are going through, and speak to other people who might have gone through similar situations. For sure, like I said, you guys are living a different life experience than we had, but at least you know, like, we might not have had the same access to technology, maybe that you guys might have, but we still went through our fair share of stuff, you know, as adults coming up. So that's a number one. Priority for us within, especially within the OFC mentorship group, is it is to make sure that we're creating these bonds, or we're creating opportunities, I should say, where mentors will be able to, or youth will be able to connect with mentors, but talk about things from that experience, from that melanated experience, you know, and give you guys different tips on how to navigate. Sometimes even just the school system, like, you're dealing with things in schools that it could be extremely frustrating to you all as coming up, you know. So that's another thing. And then the third important aspect is socialization. It is getting you guys to connect as youth and young adults within the community.
See if we could relate with each other.
With each other. And again, there's nothing wrong with integrating and connecting with other people within your schools and stuff like that. But a lot of times our youth are minorities in their schools. Right?
That's true.
So they do not have access to other youth that look like them. Right, that
Yeah.
have their experiences. So us, we're that our goal is to create these environments, create these opportunities for you guys as youth to get together and just to have fun, right? Just to have social activities, but to get to meet other youth from the community.
Kind of like a hub.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, and one of the things that we're going to make sure to do is that we're not going to just pull the youth who like coding together and the ones who like sports together and the ones who like art together. That's not the goal of this. The goal is you're a youth, you fit within this age demographic. Everybody's going to do coding stuff. Everybody's going to do sports stuff. Everyone's going to do art stuff.
Oh, that's
so,
perfect.
You know,
you teach everyone everything.
Exactly. Everybody gets an idea and there's a fun part to it. And, you know, so anyway, so just to tell you guys, so these are some of the things that we're working on within the community. And we thought it was important, you know. And again, it's on the point of in terms of what you guys should expect. I could tell you guys, as youth coming into the system, what we're doing is really preparing the mentors, because it is important that the mentors also understand their commitment, that they're making.
Yeah.
And it's the responsibility of the OFC to do our vetting, so to know who's coming in as mentors. And what's one of the things I'm telling, and for any of the adults, maybe you're out there and you're listening and you're like, you know what, I would love to get involved and I want to be a mentor. For us, we want this to be a learning experience for the mentors as well. Mm-hmm. We want to grow with the mentors. We want to learn from the mentors. We want the mentors to be able to build with us as we're building with the youth. Mm-hmm. But it's just so everybody is on the same page. We want people to reach out and to apply, but understand that we're taking it extremely seriously because, one, we're coupling parents with our youth. We're adults with our youth. So it is important that, you know, we are going to be going through a lot of due diligence in terms of who we're connecting. It is an OFC initiative, so you will need to be a member of the OFC because that's how we build bonds. The OFC is a community, so we could vouch for the people within our community. But just know that it is something that we're taking extremely seriously because this is our opportunity. We need to plant seeds into the life of our children,
yeah, into our future,
you know, into our future generation. So that's huge. Huey, did you have another point on the
mentoring? So I had like you said earlier, I was interested in getting mentored in time management, mm-hmm. and I have some general questions just to ask everybody on the table today. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to time managing, what do you think is a good what's a good tip for kids to manage time with their homework? Anyone else want to go first?
Yeah.
I think you should go first, actually.
Okay.
See, yeah, question and answer. Okay, go. Okay. I like that.
So when it comes to kids' homework, like, throughout the year, I've tried different tips when it comes to my homework. Now I feel like at the end of the year, now I feel like I'm getting better at it now. So, like, cause when you, like, let's say you, like, you just get home, right? Like, any kid that when they want just get home, they don't want to do homework. That's just, it's a fact. And it's like, it makes sense because you've been like staying all day studying stuff like that, writing down, just sitting down in one spot, just keep writing over and over again. Like, you want to come home, you want to rest. So I would advise that you set time to rest. Now, don't set time like individually, like, oh, time to eat, time to go on your phone, time to sleep. Like, just make it a general thing because, again, it could be flexible. So, like, set, like, maybe an hour, 45 minutes, like, right when you get home, just to relax. Then set time for your general homework. Now, when I say that, like, don't – like, a mistake I made earlier in the year is that I would set time to do, like, certain types of homework. But then while I'm doing it, I'm realizing that it's taking a different amount of time. Mm-hmm. So now I have to redo my schedule, which is just kind of wasting more time. So, like, let's say one homework is taking longer than I thought. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to switch around some things. So just, like, set, like, maybe, like, whenever you're free, really, like, maybe three, 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Just to, like, just do homework. And, like, you kind of just, like, keep yourself in your room. Try to distract remove yourself from distractions. Because mm-hmm. if you get distracted, then that's just going to throw off your whole time scale. So I feel like that's important to do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and then after that, you could rest, you know, do whatever. It's just to make sure you stay flexible, but make sure you still kind of have a structure at the same time.
I like that. And in fact, you said it the best because mm-hmm. I think it is there's a value in having a certain discipline as well. Mm-hmm. So basically once you set the time, let's say, like you said, 2 to 3 hours, and mm-hmm. you stick to that. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the discipline aspect. But then you also have the balance. So, yes. You know, so it's not just school the whole time and you come back and continue. You take some break. You take some time for yourself and then, you know, take time to get it done. And I think if other youth, and I don't know if I didn't ask if you had anything you wanted to add to that. Mm-hmm.
I feel like personally, the way how I was with time management, I necessarily kind of liked to get my homework out the way first because after coming home from school, knowing I have homework and knowing I only have a certain amount of time in the afternoon, I felt that if I would have used the first, I guess, hour or two to just relax myself, that I would kind of have to cram more later on. So I feel like when it comes to time management, like when you're setting up your schedule, you also have to take into the factor of that every day is different, you know? Yeah. So every day you have a different priority, and sometimes some tasks take longer, and I guess they're more prioritized than others. Mm-hmm. So if, let's say on Monday, yes, you usually have maybe 1 hour, 2 hours to yourself before you start homework, but you have a very big project, it kind of doesn't work, because then after that you're throwing off your sleep time. So me personally, what I used to do was I'd get home, I'd eat a snack, you know, just that was my quick 5-10 minutes, and then I'd just get to it. I'd work, I'd finish what I have to do, because then when I was done, then I'd be able to just use the rest of the time to relax for myself. So,
you know, and there's another very well said, and I appreciate that as well, because again, it gives different perspectives, right? But then we also have youth who are playing sports,
yes,
right? Yeah. So then that's a whole other element to add into it, because now you have to put in time for your practice. And so, you know, if you're coming home, so that might cut into relax time. Because if you know that you have practice that evening, that means that you do actually have to get the homework done right away, eat something, get out to the field or to the court, you know, and then come back and hopefully have time maybe to relax then before, you know, taking a shower and hitting the bed.
Yeah.
Right?
So Huey knows with football and stuff, man. Yeah. Football was crazy.
Yeah. So that's it. But Fenn, do you have a system that you use for studying?
For studying? Not really,
or
but
just homework,
like,
in general.
Homework? Yeah. Because, like, I do what Huey said. I relax and have some time to myself at first. And then I do my homework. But, like, my relaxing time, I would, what's it called? I would set standards for myself, I guess.
Okay.
And, like, my relaxing time wouldn't be that long. It'd be, like, 25 or 30 minutes. It wouldn't be, like, a whole hour. I would do my homework. And then, since my homework is not that big and I'm still in the elementary school, it doesn't really take that long. So then I just have the rest of the day to...
You have to take age into account as well when it comes to time management. Because there's some of us are in high school. Like, for example, Huey's in high school. So then, for example, he might be having to study for science. Like you said, your exams are coming up. That might take way longer compared to maybe Phenomenal, who's in a lower grade and has lesser homework. So,
Huge stuff, guys. For those who are listening, I hope today's episode and today's segment on mentorship was educational for you guys and inspiring. It is awesome to hear these youth and to hear our future generation. It's great to listen to the things that they're thinking about and you know, then to know where their minds are at when it comes to mentorship. If you're out there and you are interested in having your youth get involved, or you are looking for mentors for your youth, if you're interested in anything that we've spoken about, definitely go on to ofccommunity.com, sign up, become a member of these programs that we offer are for the members of our community. So it's our pleasure to have you as a member of the club, and we're looking forward to working with your youth. So before we transition out into another segment, do you guys have any final words on this topic of mentorship? We've rang it all out.
I think this is
for Gina.
For youth as well, who are also listening, because there's probably some youth out there listening too. There's also an OFC Junior thing that you could sign up for. So that could be something.
Yes, you know. Thank you for bringing that up. And actually, so it is same thing for you all. So as you go on OFC Community and you go to sign up, you'll see you have an option there as a junior member. You could sign up as a junior member. We will still have to connect with your parents, but you could sign up and then tell your parents you did that. And we can get in contact with your awesome. Parents and stuff as well. So that is awesome. And thank you for the reminder there, son. So this is great. So we are going to segue off. So we have another amazing mix. So we started off the show with a phenomenal mix, and now we're about to go into a next phenomenal mix.
It's phenomenal.
No pun intended. So that's what I do, people.
Of course, yeah.
She's all right, guys. It's enough now.
give you that sweet type of love. Sweet type of love. Come give me that sweet type of love. Real type of love. Hold me, darling. Cause whole night we jamming. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Say she sweet like a mango. She pretty thing like a banjo. Them other girl, them don't know. How she clap the thing like a go-go. Lad. Say what you say, what you say, what you say. Sexy girl, when you come my way. What you do, what you do, what you do. I must get through. Girl, roll up your way, show me that wine. Turn around, girl, don't be shy. Hello.
Trample it, trample it, trample it, trample it, trample it.
Everything, everything, you know it. King already, already, you know it. Shine already, it's time already. The line already, it's time already. Shine already, it's time already. The line already, it's time already.
Try to stop it, Mr. No, no, no. Royalty said, don't you, no, no, no. Try to stop it, Mr. Go, 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 go. Bubble up and watch it, go, 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 go.
Be ruler, be ruler, yeah. Everybody on the conquer, yeah. Every king be stronger, yeah. King the rule them longer, yeah. Remember who you are, oh. Real king always be no. Give up your brave, oh. I show your people my love.
You sang my ready, I say you sang my ready. You line not ready, I say you line not ready.
Calling you got the remedy, I say you got the remedy. Shine your body, shine your body.
Long live the king, you king, you know it. King already, already, you know it. Everything, everything, you know it. King already, already, you know it. My body so got a king body. Body gon' shine, bling, bling body. Calling all the shots, ring, ring body. Crown on your head, got a king body.
Bossy, bossy. Godfather, man a OG. Man a half humble, man a bossy. Fling a rag a rhythm like it's so free. Bossy, house on the coast, G. My money so long, it doesn't know me. Looking at my kids like I'm bossy.
Put it back, 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 hey.
Hey, yo, Idris, tell them what they're gonna take the piss. One step, you step out, do that, turn up in a diss. Body comfortable, I'm a physically fit. I'm a brown and sweet, just like the chocolate.
Yo, Wiley,
them ones don't like me. They're done a pussy pretty with the okra body. Shut down in the city with me bad girl pussy. Every man want piece of me. The back of them, a pop and them, a bun we. Man want wine behind me, me off a move, kind dusty. I'm looking for a brother who got hella pounds. 079, baby, I'm a hammer, did you stop?
Bossy, bossy. Godfather, man a OG. Man a half humble, man a bossy. Fling a ring a ring a ring a ring a ring.
What it do, Empower Our Listeners? It is your homegirl, Tammy, and I am coming through with the weekly news. recap, update. You already know I'm trying to get you as much information as I can. Listen, first and foremost, I hope everybody's doing good. I am absolutely loving the weather. I am taking advantage of it. Child, I am working on my tan because y'all know I am super light-skinned. For those of y'all that want to reach out and touch base with me during the week, you can do so on Instagram at Temi Tuesdays. Do not forget the Z at the end. So let's get right into the news. Now, first and foremost, as we all know, Bill 96 was approved, was voted in. It's problematic. I've been talking about this. A lot of people have been talking about it, but unfortunately it was voted in. Am I surprised? Absolutely not. Should anybody be surprised? No, no. Let's keep it real and honest with each other. This was to be expected, and sadly it is because, in my opinion, I feel that we are not united enough. The community, meaning the Anglophone community, we are not united enough. We need to learn to put aside our differences, right? So within the Anglophone community, there are melanated people, there are Latino people, there are Asian people, there are Christians, there are Muslims, there are LGBTQ plus community members. We all need to come together for a common goal in order for these kind of things not to happen. Now, you know what? It's one thing. It's great to talk about it online. It is great also to protest. But at the end of the day, if these things are not followed with concrete actions, it's not going to do anything. We are past that right now, okay? With everything that is going on, we are past protesting. We are past, simply talking about it. This needs to be followed up with concrete actions. Now, some of those actions can definitely be contacting your local deputy, your ministers, right? And voicing your concerns, but also asking them, hey, what are you doing in order to ensure that my rights as an Anglophone are protected, right? It's time to turn the heat up, y'all. And you know what? I'ma also say this, okay? A lot of people have been contacting me on Instagram saying, Tammy, what are we gonna do to organize, you know what, to fight Bill 96? But a lot of these people were comfortably sitting in restaurants while my butt was segregated, okay? And you know what? I've been saying this and I'm gonna repeat it again. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. That is exactly what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, and he was on point with that. Because if my rights are being violated, it is only a matter of time until someone else's rights are violated, right? So at the end of the day, we need to understand that as a society, we are intertwined, right? We cannot only look out for ourselves, because at the end of the day, if my rights are violated, once again, your rights are going to be violated at some point as well. So we need to stand together and make sure that these things do not happen. Now, speaking of making sure things do not happen, right? We need to talk about this. Now, listen, two teenagers in Montreal, okay, basically conspired and planned to do a mass shooting. So a mass murder at a high school in Saint-Michel. Okay, now their sentence came back this week. At the end of the day, they were given respectively 15 months probation and 12 months probation. Within that probation, they must write an apology letter. And that's basically the sentence, y'all. I have a problem with that. It's not something to be taken lightly for two teenagers to conspire and literally plan, meticulously plan, a mass shooting in a high school. We've seen what happened in Texas. Listen, we have to be sure that these kind of things do not start happening here. And at the end of the day, it's with these type of super easy breezy type of sentences that, you know what? It's only a slap on the hand. And we cannot scream and cry, God forbid, that, you know what, once their little probation and apology letter is written, that they actually follow through. We absolutely need to have more severe sentences in what pertains to these kind of crimes, right? I mean, listen, I don't want to bring race into this, but let a melanated man sell some weed that is actually, that the government sells, okay? Let the a melanated brother sell some weed on the corner, child, okay? I put my hand on fire that he is doing closed jail time and even possibly federal penitentiary time, okay? So anyways, I was very disappointed to see that the teenagers only got probation. At the end of the day, once again, we need to come together as a community to make sure that our officials, so our politicians, are actually following through in these type of situations. Now, speaking of following through, Last thing that I want to talk about today is Section 365 of the Criminal Code of Canada. And I'm going to tell you guys why. I'm going to come back to that after. But this week, Miss Elizabeth Johnson Jr. Was actually officially cleared in what pertains to her crime, which was practicing witchcraft more than 300 years ago, right? She was part of the Salem witches. Her sentence when she was found guilty was to be hanged. In the end, they did not execute her, but at the end of the day, she was found guilty. So she was literally cleared last week. Now, I'm talking about that, even though it is obviously in Massachusetts, in the United States. Section 365 of the Criminal Code of Canada, if you guys go check it out, especially Section A, B, and C, literally says, I will read it out to you, A, anybody who pretends to exercise or to use any kind of witchcraft, sorcery, enchantment, or conjuration is guilty of an offense punishable on summary conviction. So we actually here in Canada still have a criminal code in what pertains to witchcraft. Now, I'm saying that to say this, y'all, okay? History always has a funny way of repeating itself, okay? I do not understand why we still have this section in the Criminal Code of Canada. I mean, does this even make sense in 2022, right? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, witchcraft, right, can also be, if we want a parallel or something similar to religion. It's something that you do not see. It's something that you believe in. It is something that you practice, right? Now, Canada does not believe in that, okay? We've been seeing also how, especially here in Quebec, you know what, no religious symbols. You know, God is basically taken out of school and every type of public, if you want, scenario, situation, right? Now, I'm doing the parallel with natural remedies. I'm doing the parallel with that because naturopaths actually often have a doctoral degree, right? Now, when we're talking about COVID and, you know, the pandemic and et cetera, I barely heard naturopaths speaking. I barely heard any interviews with them. Everything was like, you know what, get these vaccines, et cetera. But at the end of the day, there is no better science than actually taking care of your mind, body, and soul, and of doing things naturally, right? But it seems as if something natural, right, goes against the science of our government. Now, imagine if our own faith, right, is challenged and goes against what the government believes. I mean, Section 365 of the Criminal Code of Canada, speaking of witchcraft, which is something you do not see, right? When we talk about enchantment, people that are praying can be considered an enchantment, right? So I'm just saying, listen, y'all, unity is what is needed right now, okay? Because things are not making sense. Things are not, as we say in French, ne tourne pas en rond, right? So at the end of the day, just be vigilant. And it's all about seeking information, getting information, and spreading information. So my time is up, y'all. I wish y'all a beautiful week. And please make sure to touch base with me on Instagram at Tammy Tuesdays. Do not forget the Z at the end, y'all. Stay blessed. Peace.
Yeah, so this was Tammy T, who is always bringing it. So what we feeling about this Bill 96, man? What we doing about this, man? It just happened to us. This is something else that's just happening to us. And us not being prepared or not knowing how to fight these things is a problem. What do we do?
I don't know, guys. I mean, I really do love Montreal and all that, but y'all keep it up and I'm going to find my way out.
It's time to go, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I'm already, I've mentally checked out a long time ago, but it's, it goes to kind
of homeschooling.
Yeah. Well, homeschooling, just living independently. Like, I'm there with Tammy. My next thing is just figuring out how to just not be a citizen anymore and to just be completely independent, like figure out how to just, you know, how to just live. Because like I said at the beginning of the show, anything that's bringing me a certain negative energy, a certain thing, I'm not here for any of that stuff anymore. Like, I'm really just here to live a certain life experience, my best life experience, happy days, and building the life that I want to see.
So well, we recognize that the bill actually, just because a lot of, if not most of us, come from immigrants, families who immigrated here from, you know, Caribbean places that were English.
And to come and work here and build things.
Yeah, to come and work and build and build the place. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty much saying that in the school system, what this means is that if you don't take all electives, or not all electives, all of the mandatories in French, and I think even some electives, that none of those credits really count. So you could go and do all the schooling that you want to in English, and if you don't take it in French, it doesn't equal anything for you. It means nothing.
I gotta read a little bit more into this, because then what about when you're in university and stuff? Like my bachelor's degree that I'm gonna get is gonna get recognized everywhere else in the world. So
yeah, but that's I think that's the real disservice, or I want to say injustice, but maybe just a disservice, because for those like Quebec, Quebecers, like these youth who now don't have the option to learn these things in English, mm-hmm. it's extremely limiting, because it's like there's an advantage of having the two languages, but you only having French, how are you supposed to function outside of Quebec, like when the rest of the world is dealing in English?
And don't get me wrong, I think if you're in Quebec, I think you should speak both languages.
Yeah, personally, exactly. I'm with you.
I think you should. I understand those who immigrated here when they were late in age and whatnot, and you know, they're later in age, it's harder for them to learn languages. You're 50, 60, 70, however it is, mm-hmm. you could keep doing what you're doing. But like for anyone, like when you're gonna have kids here, have them learn the two, whatever. Like most people are multilingual here too, mm-hmm. and that way you use that everywhere around the world. If you're going to force people to just learn French, well, they're going to have Quebec, France, and the few left colonies that they you know, mm-hmm. colonized, and that's it.
C'est tout.
That's yeah. it.
Anyways, then get me started, because this ain't even the good French. Because when you get around the good French folks, they be like, "Who is that y'all speaking?"
I know.
Actually, this is what we speak in here. It's called joual.
You're right.
So yeah. we don't even understand. We're low class French when we get to Paris.
Yeah, I know.
Man, so this French here is like man, wah wah wah. They're like, what is that?
They looked at me crazy when I asked for bread. Like they didn't know what I was like. Est-ce que je peux avoir du pain, s'il vous plaît? Du quoi? Du pain? Du quoi? Ah, du pain. No, you're lying right now.
Yeah.
You're trying me right now.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we're going to segue, I guess, into this entertainment segment because, mm-hmm. you know, we got the youth in the house.
That's it.
We got to talk about what happened the other day. Mm-hmm. So, there was a school in, I think it's an elementary school in Texas. Mm-hmm. And the school in Texas was... Mm-hmm. This school was attacked by a young man who, I guess later on, he tells a story of being bullied and that he wanted to, I guess,
get revenge.
And he went to a children's school and shot several children and teachers.
There's two teachers and
10 or 13 children.
Whoa.
And he was being bullied by these children?
No.
That's what I'm like, wait, I thought it was like an elementary. I was like, wait, what?
No, just bullied and just felt like he wanted to
retaliate on these innocent children.
So he went into this school and did this. So we had some, just because we have the youth in the house, first of all, I'm just going to just give a couple little details. So it is said right now that we now know, the FBI says that the police that were on site, they waited 90 minutes to go in to mm-hmm. remove.
And they were there within minutes.
Within 5 minutes. And mm-hmm. in their first 40 minutes, they actually scavenged the school for their own children.
For their own children, yeah.
They got their own children out, and then they proceeded to wait another 40 minutes to go in to remove the threat. But they went in and got their own children out first.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That's selfish.
And they tasered and handcuffed some of the parents who were yelling.
Were trying to force them to go in. Like, you got to go in now because we can hear them actually shooting. You got to go in now. And they were pushing parents down, tasing them.
The parents
were
going to run in themselves.
Covering this woman's mouth. They held her mouth. They held her down on the floor, held her mouth, held her hands, and then they handcuffed her and they tased people.
And their excuse was they said that they were under the belief that he had barricaded himself and was just shooting in an empty room. Like he didn't have hostages.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Can I give you guys a couple of numbers?
Yeah.
Here that I that came up. They were talking about there's 19 countries with the most school shootings around the world. And this is the count of total incidences from January 2009 up until May 2018. Mm-hmm. United States, 288. Mm-hmm. The next country with the most is Mexico with 6. Mm-hmm. Sorry, excuse me. 8.
You're right.
Wow.
With 8. Yeah. Well, yeah. South Africa has 6. India has 5. Nigeria and Pakistan has 4. Afghanistan has 3. You know Afghanistan where they sent people to go to war? Well, you know, when you need peace in the Middle East and you guys are sending armies to these countries because they're at war, well, they know that they understand not to go shoot up their schools.
Right.
3. Right. Brazil, Canada, and France, 2. And I don't know if both are actually here in Montreal because Montreal had the Dawson shooting and the Polytechnic, but I think Polytechnic was before 2009.
Okay. Wow.
But that, and then the other countries that have one is Azerbaijan, China, Estonia, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Kenya, Russia, and Turkey.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now this is heavy because there's a little video clip I watched with a little boy. Did you guys see it? Little boy.
Yes, I sure did.
The boy singing that, you know, just a regular song.
Sorry, not that song. That video.
Yeah, I saw the one with a little boy singing and just talking about as a child, like, you know, like they shouldn't have to be in fear of going to school.
That's right.
I find this is a very interesting topic, and it's great to have a youth with us who's in elementary school. So now I know this story is somewhat new to you because we don't really watch the news at our house like that.
Yeah. Either.
So it's just like, wait, what's happening outside? But so what does this make you think about? Like how when you hear stories like this, like I can't put it on the spot, but yes.
It's kind of like, it's obviously like scary kind of because like you don't know if it's going to happen to you. Like you don't want it to happen, but like it's a possibility, but you don't like thinking about it.
Right.
It's kind of, it's like that. And also, I don't know, it's just, it doesn't make me feel good.
Right.
But like, I don't even know how I feel.
Hmm.
So can I just pose this question to you? The thought of it, I know, is not good.
Yeah.
What do you think, in the instance that we could fathom that this actually happened to people, what do you think that we could do to keep you guys safe? What can we do to keep you guys safe? What can we do?
I think homeschooling is good.
Talk about it.
Amen.
Because like while we were homeschooled, we never like had any trouble or anything.
Amen.
Like everybody was just kumbaya. Nothing was.
Amen.
Nothing was really out there often. Yes. So
yes.
Yeah, that's one thing. And I don't know. I don't know if there's anything else.
So it's like avoid the situation. Like don't put them in this situation. But period. I think it's kind of I guess playing devil's advocate. I know one of the things is they're saying gun control, right? Like just get the guns out of the hands of the people. But I am, like, to me, that doesn't necessarily, like, I don't feel like that's the ideal solution.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's, like, how do I put it? Like, the guns in the hands of the police are just as bad. And the thing is that now by disarming everybody, now, those who are out there, especially in the United States, who sometimes really do have to protect themselves against these powers that be, now we're completely disarming them. But still the threat is still there.
But and part of them saying disarming, it's a little, even if you don't want to come off and disarm all of them, what they're saying is, can we put a bit more red tape around getting the guns?
Okay.
That's actually the first main issue. Is the access to guns is wildfire. Like you don't need background checks if you get them in certain instances.
Right.
You don't, like, and there's, because there's countries that make you go through background checks, psychological checks, a waiting period.
Yeah, that should actually be first, because, you know, I could be in my right mind today. And I go and I purchase a gun, and tomorrow I lose my mind.
100%.
True. And so now I'm here tripping.
Like, sometimes it takes you 6 months before you can actually get any weapon of any sort, whether you even want to hunt. If you want to say it's for hunting, it's for, like, there aren't enough processes in the U.S. for that. So it's not even saying, hey guys, let's wipe out all the guns. Because I mean, in London, it's like that. Like even in London, even the police officers don't have guns.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if we're going to say if it's all or nothing, let it be nothing. Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. But since it's not that.
I would vote for that.
I agree too. Mm-hmm. I'm here for that too. But we're just saying put better processes in place, because the countries that do have that, as we just enumerated, mm-hmm. do not have these mass shootings. And this and those numbers were just for school shootings. Mm-hmm. Forget the in Vegas when the country concert was going on and someone mm-hmm. was just sniping people mm-hmm. in oh, yes. the crowd.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, so that's just those numbers were just for the school shootings.
Right.
The mass school shootings. Right. Like it's survival of, I don't even know it's survival of the luckiest mm-hmm. in the US right now.
But we didn't mention the churches.
The churches, the nail salons,
So, man. So we are we're coming into a time where now we're having to use our heads a little bit differently, and I feel like, you know what, we're all. I ain't worried about us, but you're gonna protect my kids,
100%.
And I think that the teachers one need to be vetted, because also we don't want a teacher pulling a gun on a student because they can't control them,
right?
But I think that the teacher should be bearing arms. Mm. I think that if I'm leaving you responsible for my child 8 hours out of the day, if something like that happens, when the man comes through the door, you should be able to shoot them. Mm. I left you with my kids. You have the responsibility of the future in your hands. How could we not arm you? Mm. How come y'all don't got the right equipment in there? How come y'all don't got proper doors and latches and stuff like that on the doors in there? How come y'all don't have those things? How much do it cost us every year to send the kids to school? What's right. the budget looking like? Well, the next year's budget, right? We obviously not going to use the money on the same things. We want bulletproof windows. Mm-hmm. We want trap doors. We want doors that we can put the children in. We need these things. But we need
I hear you, Kai. But my thing is that is it's a reaction. Because someone else said this. It's like these teachers are getting minimum pay.
Yeah. Right.
And you're expecting them to have military grade training.
Right. And the
educators. And you don't even ask that much from your actual cops.
Right.
Yeah. And you're asking more from the teachers.
Yeah.
Who don't even get paid what cops get paid.
Talk that talk now, because that's what we're talking about. Because the police go to school for 6 months and hairdressers go to school for 2 years. So you right. tell me.
So right. so now we're saying, oh, because you guys don't want to fix something that can easily be fixed, you want the people who already have so much burden to increase their burden. And now they have to learn military grade on how to protect themselves and the kids, and then arm them. And my fear too is that, I get it. You're gonna arm them, and you're putting guns in the school.
Mm-hmm. My other concern is just from the side of the parent. What kind of environment is that we're putting the children into? They're there to learn. Right now they've stepped into a prison camp that they have to.
That like, part.
It's not even, you know, it's definitely not a learning environment.
And in the U.S., gun drills is part of your learning. And like, I'm going to say this. I'm not Canada. You doing some wonky stuff during this pandemic, but I'm glad I got to go to school here versus the U.S. And when my brothers were going to the U.S. to go study, I was petrified.
Mm-hmm. Well, I get it. And, you know, I just feel like Canada is just putting a whole lot more fluoride in the water. Mm-hmm. And that's right. why the people is a little bit more. And I want to say docile, but that's why we punks here.
That's why
everybody here is scared to death. They scared to fight for their own rights, let alone somebody else's. Hmm. So this is what we're looking at right now. A bunch of scared people, scared to fight for each other. Well, if it's not happening in my house, well, you know, I'm just going to deal with what happens in my house. Mm-hmm. Well, this is why we at where we at, because they bank on you saying that. They bank on you calling and saying, it wasn't my kid. Right. Well, guess what? Don't get up. That's why I said, I'm not calling the man. I'm not calling him.
But we as Canadians can't do anything about what's going on in the U.S. Mm. We have no voting power in the U.S. See, we can give them our opinions,
right?
But we have no voting power about what's in the U.S.
That's crazy to me. So that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the youth. And I'm worried about the youth trusting us to be able to do what we're supposed to do for them.
Yeah.
Because this is where we get the government now putting their hands in and pretty much being like, well, you guys couldn't even protect your own children. Mm-hmm. Well, we're just going to take control of that too. No, that's not how it goes. So I think that, you know what, this baby had one of the best ideas around the table. I think that we need to homeschool the children, take them out, force them to understand why we no longer trust them. I think that's what the order is supposed to be. We don't trust you. We don't trust you with our children. We don't trust you with you educating them with. I don't trust that you can protect them. Could you imagine? These teachers, all they got to do is get a piece of paper that say, I give you permission to take my child on a school trip. And while we out on a school trip somewhere, something happened to my kid. And this is all you got, is this piece of paper with my signature. Everybody is going down. Everybody's on fire. Yeah. I'm not playing. I'm not calling nobody. You do. Don't make me come for you. And that's what I really homeschool the kids, take the kids out of their system and make them revise what exactly it is that they're doing.
You know, and I as we're on this topic, I know one of the things that Tammy had mentioned some time ago was that Bill 15 that they passed as well, that gave the government more authority over
children. Your children.
So these are things that, again, it's just odd that, you know, as parents that we're accepting these things, especially dealing with a government that we are still finding bodies of the
indigenous children buried in shallow graves.
This was the government involved. This was the church is involved. This was the legal system involved, right? And so I really, the idea, I know it might sound far-fetched, but the idea of us as parents grouping our resources, our locations, our strengths, so that we can homeschool our children as a collective. I know it's not easy for all parents, because some parents have to, they have to grind, they have to get the work done. But if there's a collective of parents who are willing to work together and to say, okay, well, you're home in the day, you do this, I'll do this, I'll do that, I honestly, like, I feel that is one of the ways that we'll have to start functioning, because the system's coming down, so we're going to need alternatives.
Speaking of that, and I don't want to rub this in even more, but because of all this happening, there was a video going around of a teacher asking one of her students, let's call this kid maybe 6-7 years old,
okay,
and she asked her student, well, what did you want to be when you grew up? And he looked at her and smiled. He's like, oh, I want to be a murderer.
Oh, I see. Whoa. That.
Yeah. And she's just like, what? She's like, yeah. He's like, no, you know, I when I finally got a chance to watch my first grown-up murder series, I saw them killing it. And I looked at it. I was like, yeah, I'm going to like that. And yeah, I think I like, I think I know that I like killing. And I'm just going to murder everyone out here except for my family, because they didn't do anything to me.
I was like, I think that was, that was, that was, that was a show, though, right? It's not live.
No.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you what they did. So there's actually a parody of a little boy, and he's like, and I start shooting the people, and how'd you feel when the intruder came into the house? I shot him. He broke into our house, and it was blood. It was so much blood. Well, I think what they did was they allowed that child to maybe watch that something.
No.
And it sounds like he's reenacting that.
No.
Please show me this. Send it to me. It's none of this. I'm gonna beat the kids. Right. I'm gonna whoop the kids. So you tell me he's gonna be a killer. I'm gonna show you who's the killer around here. I'm gonna kill him butt cheeks. Yeah. That's all I'm gonna care. I'm gonna fire you up.
So now I know we kind of went. We didn't go into the entertainment. We went straight into what's happening in the world. But before we jump off the topic, I don't want to stay too much longer on this one, but. In terms of solutions, there was a sister that did share something that I want to echo, where she was proposing that as a community, we start to insure our babies, because this is the best way to ensure that the insurance companies start getting involved, because they do not want to see as many. They don't want to pay anything out. So the fact that if as a community, we start insuring our children, now they will see the value of our lives.
That's right. Imagine if those 13 children were all insured in that school, and the teachers were all insured. Do you know what those insurance companies would be? They'd be picketing in the streets right now.
Yeah, exactly. So
no,
guys.
No, they wouldn't be picketing in the streets. They'd be in them courtrooms.
Exactly. Right. That's right.
And legislation would be passed.
Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you guys right now, I've been saying it, the OFC, we're creating a whole finances department where we already started, we've been doing sessions educating the community on the value of having insurance, what it means to insure your children, how you could actually use your children's life insurance as an investment vehicles as well. Guys, like, there's tons
for whole insurance,
whole life insurance. Guys, please get in contact with the OFC. It's time that we organize as a community and mobilize and start, you know, just doing the right thing and putting our best foot forward.
So that's me, right?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, yes, but I think Fenn had something.
I know Fenn had something.
I had like one thing, but like, so I had this is for the entertainment. It was I watched a movie, Sneaker Ella. I think, Dad, you had watched it.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
John Sally's in there, I think, right?
Well, I don't know anybody's names, but it's like a male version of a Cinderella.
Yeah.
Oh. And it's like, it has more melanated people and more diversity. So yeah, I really liked it. The music was okay. I mean, it wasn't high class level, but it wasn't like trash. Right.
It was decent.
Yeah, decent
level. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I heard John Sally talking about It's coming out.
Very good movie. Yeah, I recommend it to all the youth out there. And I think we might even have a whole youth segment and watch the movie as youth. It's awesome. It's an awesome thing on Disney.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to put that on the watch list.
Amen. Thank you for your recommendation.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
Fantastic.
That's it. Good. So now, we have what, 7 more minutes left for the show. Gina, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I was about to just
dive in.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure you're looking at me. I wasn't sure.
No, I wasn't. No, because you started talking. Okay. But good morning, everybody. Oh.
Go ahead. I thought that's what you're waiting for.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everyone. This is Gina the Great, aka Miss Politically Correct, aka the Peacemaker, aka But Please Don't Test Her. And we are getting into Ungrind My Gears with a couple little fun facts here, some motivational quotes, and some laughs, of course. But first things first,
black facts.
So today's black facts, I know you all know who this is, and I know you've heard about them, or him, I should say, but you may not know the connection to Canada. So today, R is for Robinson, and that's Jackie Robinson, the first black to tear down the walls against segregation in professional baseball. In the first season of his awesome sportsmanship, Jackie led the Montreal Royals to an unexpected championship. Did y'all know that?
No, I didn't know it was the Montreal Royals. I didn't know that we won a championship. Well, I figured with having a melanated person on the team, for sure you're going to win.
Obviously.
That's just part of it, right?
That is a fact. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, so when Jackie Robinson joined the Montreal Royals in 1946, he entered Canadian sports history. April 18, 1946, Jackie Robinson stepped onto the field in a royal uniform. Montreal's loved the way he played. He was a spectacular baseball player. In his first game in New Jersey City, Jersey City, New Jersey, he drove in 4 runs. Sorry, guys, my baseball, I don't be knowing baseball like that, but he drove in 4 runs with 4 hits and stole 2 bases. Sounds about like it's good to me. Mm-hmm. For one of the year he played in Montreal, he scored 113 runs.
Damn.
And stole 40 bases. Well, it's sounding a lot better to me now. Mm-hmm. Everyone was in awe of his composure because he continued to excel even when he was called names, spat upon, or assaulted. Jackie was a pioneer in Montreal, the city he loved. They could not help but love him as he held the Royals to victory in the Little World Series after they won the final game. Montreal fans carried Robinson's around Delorme Field on their shoulders. It was a triumph, joy, and adulation of Robinson broke baseball color barriers in Montreal.
Mm. Wow.
That's Jackie Robinson, folks.
That's amazing. I secretly wish that he never did that, but I think it is amazing.
Can I ask why?
Yeah, I just feel that we should have just continued with our own black leagues, personally.
Oh, okay,
I just feel that when...
They kind of feel black now. They're not black owned, but the leagues are pretty much all black.
You see, I was getting there. You just went because when it was our leagues, we owned them. And right now we switch from ownership to just playing the game and getting a tap on our head and getting paraded around. But that actually didn't mean anything long term in terms of just financial compensation, ownership, empowerment of the community. You know,
there's some change in that too, where as now some of these athletes are buying shares and or owning teams.
Right.
So let's just keep up the good work, folks.
That's it. We're catching up. We're catching up. We're realizing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so big shout out to Black Biblio. But definitely remember to get in contact with the OFC if you want your own pack of Black Facts cards.
Oh, it's Black Biblio. Yeah, the ABCs.
They're not called Black Facts cards. Sorry.
It's the ABCs of Canadian history. Mm-hmm. My motivational quote of the week is... if it costs you your piece, it's too expensive. Get a refund.
We love that.
You're too expensive right now.
No, that's just costing me my piece. Yo, that tambourine, chuch. I'm leaving it in the studio. It's never leaving.
Tambourine's perfect.
Man, you're gonna leave it here? Oh, chuch. Wow.
Chuch.
I'd hate for it to get lost.
I'm gonna bring a choir in.
I have a quick quote.
Let's hear it.
Don't let someone else tell you can't do something because that's them telling you. You can't do it, but it's not you. You can't do it. I can. Believe in yourself. Don't let other people tell you what you can or can't do.
Amen. Yes, I like that.
I heard that one from Jay-Z. I just have to say.
Okay, Jay-Z. Oh, my God.
Okay, sorry. Nope. That was the last one. I won't do it again.
One more again. You're going in the corner?
That's it.
Time out.
That was the last one. It was a good quote from Jay-Z. I had to drop it. Go ahead.
Time out.
Hold.
Yeah.
And so I got a couple for you guys. I have a joke. Mm-hmm. And I got two jokes, actually, because I'm going to repeat the joke that didn't play on air. Sorry, guys.
I actually got a joke for y'all, too, so I don't care.
And then I'll have a riddle.
Okay.
So the first joke is, what does a nosy pepper do?
Nosy pepper?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say something to do with smelling, but I don't know why.
It gets jalapeno business.
Yes!
See what I mean, Kaya? That's what
I even just went through it for that one. Jesus, Father.
Thank you, Ninja.
Feed the chickens.
Yes.
That was corny.
Ooh, I love it. I'm so glad you're back, Farrell, so I can do these things.
Jalapeno business. You see where my mind is
No,
going,
see, and this like... is this is why I came with this joke, because of your tambourine. I'm so glad it hit you in the heart like that. And this one I had said, but it got cut. But what has four wheels and flies?
Four wheels and flies?
Kai, you can't answer. You know this one.
A plane?
I was going to say.
A garbage truck.
Four wheels.
And flies.
And flies.
You guys are not funny.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, but you're laughing. That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
My mind always goes in the wrong place. And I'm like, okay, I'm thinking logically. I keep thinking
it is logic. No, it's pretty logic. Anyway, Kai, that gave you a gut laugh last time. So.
Yeah, it did.
Stop
it. Did. Today, Stop. Though, it's just like my eye hurts.
You're right. Yeah, because you knew it was coming. You're like, no.
Yeah, 100%. So my riddle is, a next policeman lost his wife, his house, and his car. Which one did he lose first?
Oh. His job.
Okay. Thank
He's
you.
An ex-policeman. Okay, so I got a joke for y'all. This is for the Caribbean people out there. This one, yeah, for the Caribbean people out there.
Cause like, I got it. Next.
Mm-hmm. I make holy water. Tell me how you make holy water.
Holy water?
Good answer.
Yeah, I would have said pray over it too.
How do you make holy water?
It's definitely not the right answer.
I don't know. You add Swiss cheese to it?
Okay.
Swiss cheese.
We don't have time anyways, but I tell you, boil the hell out of it. That is
wow. Boil the hell out of it.
Oh, those are always welcome because of
I know all the Caribbean people just like,
no, they, yeah.
Why?
They're dying of laughter, not me though. I'm not dying of laughter.
Well, speaking of relationships, and so we'll end with this, seeing how this month we spoke about relationships. Oh, sorry, you did a point?
Just have them come in so they could say their advice.
Mm-hmm. So ending with relationships this month. Just a note that people don't fake depression. They don't fake being depressed. They fake being okay. Mm. So check on your people. Check on your people. And then again, check on them.
Yeah.
Again, one more time again.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So we're about to make this a wrap.
Yeah, this was an awesome one.
How was the show for you guys?
Come around the mic.
We'll do a little tour de table.
Mm-hmm. So tour de table. Phenomenal. And Huey, how was the show for you guys?
I like today's show. It was are you talking to it. It was educational because I feel like we all learned different things about like mentoring. It was very informative. I'm glad that Fauna was able to speak to her mentor, and that we had a conversation about the questions I had for mine. So I feel like that was good about today's show.
Amazing.
Amen.
I felt like today's show was entertaining, and empowering, and I felt like we got a lot done, and a lot of the things that we wanted to say, we said it, and like we talked about it, and we discussed it, so. Yeah, it was nice.
Awesome. So it was great. I did not hear our guests.
Yes, yes, yes. I did enjoy this show. Also, thank you for having me today, guys. I appreciate it. My favorite thing was actually the mentorship, especially with the youth thing, because I've heard a lot of times that, like, I guess people would say our generation is kind of like the downfall of, I guess, society or something.
I mean, but I feel like they say that every generation. Yeah, they'll listen.
Probably, but I feel like with this mentorship thing, that's kind of like something very important, because then the youth are going to really just learn multiple things at once. So it's perfect.
Amazing. Amazing. Kai, are you?
I'm just happy the kids is here doing their thing. The youth is here tearing the show up, and I love that. I'm proud. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to say, I am also, I really did enjoy today's show. It did go according to how I intended it. I just put out the energy and I trusted that the spirit would make it come together, and it did. A huge thank you to our guest, Sirius Savage, who came in. So it was awesome to be able to hear her voice. And again, for the parents out there who have heard things concerning the mentorship, concerning the youth initiatives that we have, you're interested in becoming a mentor yourself, definitely get in contact with the OFC. Check us out, ofccommunity.com, and you could just sign up on there. And if you have questions about finance, insurance, and different things like that, also get in contact with us.
Perfect. Well, kings and queens, this was the Empower Hour. We are on every Thursday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM and available on Facebook and YouTube.
Bidding a good morning to you all, I'm Jerry Goodfriend, welcoming you to Folk Directions, a program of music based in and influenced by tradition, here on CKUT Radio, 90.3 FM in Montreal, streamed and archived on the World Wide Web at ckutfolk.com.